And in today's episode of I Watched It So You Don't Have To, my breakdown of the Mark Levin interview with Joe Kent. Viva Fry, former Montreal litigator turned current Florida Rumbler, in my actual home office. Gonna do another breakdown of a podcast that is very relevant to listen to, but might be very painful for some of you to listen to. Also, it's 35 minutes long. Not everybody has 35 minutes to watch an entire interview. So enjoy this 15-minute summary of a 35-minute interview. Now, for those of you who have been living under a rock and haven't heard the news, first of all, invite me in. I could use the peace and quiet and solitude. The former director of the National Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, has resigned from his position, and he resigned in a manner that made headlines. He resigned in a manner suggesting that the Iranian conflict was at the nudging of Israel, and since having resigned, as I predicted, he has faced a smear campaign of epic proportions. He is allegedly under investigation for allegedly leaking allegedly classified information to we don't know whom yet. We don't even have confirmation that the investigation exists, but my goodness, that hasn't stopped people in the media from running with that story. He has been accused of allegedly leaking allegedly classified information such that his resignation was more of a you can't fire me because I quit. Set that aside, he has been doing the media rounds with players that are making certain people very angry. Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, a short one with Candace Owens. Well, he went on with the other side, that being Mark Levin, and I listened to this interview, and my goodness, it was infuriating. Not because of what Joe Kent said, just because of how Mark Levin conducted that interview. Now, just to get ahead of the curve on some of you who are going to say, Viva, don't be so sensitive. This is what hard-hitting journalism is all about, interrupting, challenging your guest. There's a difference between interrupting and challenging your guest versus just interrupting your guest and not letting him get his message out. Mark Levin spent at the very least half of the interview with an uninterrupted monologue that did nothing other than denigrate, besmirch, and demean Joe Kent before he even came on. That is called poisoning the well, people. Mark Levin, in something of a 15-minute uninterrupted, at least as far as I could tell, monologue, degrading Joe Kent before he even came on, polluted the well, laid the groundwork for his interview, and then he finally invited Joe Kent on. Now, why I highlight the fact that his monologue was, I think, anywhere between 10 and 15 minutes uninterrupted, because Mark Levin is facing accusations that he didn't like the way the interview was going, so he abruptly interrupted Joe Kent to run to commercials, and his excuse is, it's radio, people, we have hard outs for commercials, which A, highlights why everyone hates the radio and that type of short-form content. I'm just highlighting the fact that there were no commercial interruptions during his denigrating 15-minute opening monologue. But with that said, I'm not going to play the entire 15-minute monologue, just a clip from it to highlight what exactly Mark Levin was doing before bringing on his guest.
To be clear, I have no quarrel. I had no quarrel with Joe Kent, other than the speaker asking me to have him on my radio show in October 2024 because he was in a close election for the House seat in Washington State's 3rd District. I knew nothing of him, but I wanted to help. Joe Kent lost that election in 2024, and he lost earlier in 2022. President Trump won that district in both of his successful elections.
Yeah, Joe Kent lost both of those elections, and the only reason he brought him on was because the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, asked Mark Levin to have on Joe Kent, apparently or ostensibly because Mark Levin's show carries some form of influence, and that would have been a way of getting Joe Kent into the mainstream. Later on in the interview, Mark Levin scoffs at the idea that his podcast can have lobbying effect on Donald Trump as a president or the administration at large. Meanwhile, in the beginning of the interview, he implicitly recognizes that not only does his show have a potential lobbying effect, he sometimes answers specifically to the requests of politicians. But now getting into the substance of the interview itself, after that monologue, he invites on Joe Kent and asks him the question that everybody is asking. Did Joe Kent leak classified information to anybody? Did Joe Kent leak any information to anybody? And here is Joe Kent's unequivocal answer.
Were you a leaker? Are you under investigation? Do you know whether you're under investigation? Let's try and clear the air right at the beginning.
Sure, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I never leaked any classified information. And the stories you're reading are stories from leakers who are leaking, I guess, maybe an investigation about me being a leaker. So I think it's just a media counter narrative. I had.
So nobody has contacted you from justice or the FBI or anything like that?
Nope.
Did you ever leak? Confident?
Nope,
let me do it this way. Did you ever leak classified information? You said no. Did you ever leak confidential information?
Nope.
Never.
Were you
cut out? Okay, you're on the record. That's perfectly fine. And that's a good thing, Joe.
Now, I do appreciate some people are going to say there's a bit of a potentially linguistic, semantic, deceitful answer from Joe Kent. I never leaked any classified information. Then the question is, did you leak any confidential information? But if there's no legal prohibition on the leak, as in it's classified information, one can make the argument that you cannot, by definition, leak anything that is not prohibited information from disclosure in the first place. I would just like to know, was Joe Kent in touch with Candace Owens beforehand? That other guy, Mitch Snow, did he leak any information? Did he communicate any information? Andrew Colvay from the Charlie Kirk Show came out the other day and said, look, I shared a screenshot of a group chat with Joe Kent. He asked me to make it public later. I said no. And then lo and behold, about a week later, Candace Owens is showing that very same screenshot, or at least a screenshot of that private group chat. And the suggestion, the conclusion, the implication is that it was Joe Kent who, after Andrew Colvay said he's not going to go public with it, sent it to Candace Owens and she went public with it. My only question to Andrew Colvay and all of that would be, did you send that text or that message or that group chat to anybody else who may have communicated it to Candace Owens or anyone else? I would also ask Joe Kent, did you communicate that to anyone else, if not Candace Owens in particular? Then Mark Levin asked the question as to whether or not Joe Kent was cut out of any meetings with the president. And Joe Kent says, no, wouldn't say that I was cut out. President doesn't invite everybody to every meeting, but I was getting the presidential daily briefings right up until the day I resigned and he moved on. Some people are suggesting, well, Donald Trump or members of the administration had some suspicions about Joe Kent, and so they stopped inviting him to meetings about the potential strikes on Iran, as if to say, ha-ha, Joe Kent is so untrustworthy, he stopped being invited into these meetings. That is a double-edged sword that you might want to be careful wielding.
Were you cut out of briefings for the last 3 months or so when you were there?
No, I wouldn't say I was cut out. I mean, the president can choose to have whoever he wants to have in the actual presidential Oval intelligence sessions. I still had access to the PDB and was part of, I'd
tell
say,
everybody what that is,
that were appropriate for my job, the president's daily brief.
So you had access to that right up to the end?
Yeah, until the day I walked out the door.
If it in fact turns out that the administration or Trump in particular was not inviting the director of the National Counterterrorism Center to meetings, to briefings about the potential fallout from strikes in Iran, that could actually be spun against Donald Trump and the administration itself for having taken that action without consulting the director of National Counterterrorism. But you have your answer, whether you like it or not, or whether it's accurate or not. We will only find that out in due time. For now, the answer is no, I wasn't specifically cut out of anything, and I had daily meetings or the presidential daily brief right up until the day I resigned, according to Joe Kent.
I want to read you something, Joe, for you to respond to here. When one of President Trump's closest advisors, who's vocally advocating for us to not go to war with Iran and for us to rethink at least our relationship with the Israelis, and then he's suddenly publicly assassinated and we're not allowed to ask any questions about it. It's a data point, you told Carlson, about the murder of our friend Charlie Kirk. It's a data point that we need to look into. What are you trying to look into there? What do you think happened there?
What I know is that there were foreign leads that we didn't get a chance to look into, that we did not thoroughly investigate. That's what I know.
You have any country in mind?
No. I think we need to fully investigate the potential of any foreign nexus.
So you think a foreign country may have been involved in his assassination? Does the FBI think that?
What I think is that we need to thoroughly investigate all the potentials. That's what needs to happen.
I know, but what I'm trying to find out, you're a smart guy. You're an accomplished guy. Is there something that piqued your interest that caused you to say, maybe there's something foreign and we need to look into this? I mean,
There is. I just can't get into it because it's classified and it's part of an ongoing investigation, I hope. But from my vantage point and from what I saw at the National Counterterrorism Center, that was not thoroughly looked into.
And I'm trying to be rude. Just slow down. I'm a little hard of hearing.
Now, this is in respect of the Charlie Kirk assassination, and we had heard rumors at the time that there was a falling out between Joe Kent and the FBI, between Tulsi Gabbard and the FBI, because apparently Kash Patel might have felt that Joe Kent and Tulsi Gabbard were overstepping their bounds, encroaching on the FBI's authority by suggesting that there might have been an international angle to this, or at the very least, that the international angle should be investigated. And here we have the confirmation from Joe Kent himself. He's not talking about any specific country. Whether or not you believe him is a separate issue. He is suggesting that there was good reason to investigate a potential international or foreign involvement in Charlie Kirk's assassination. And from what we know, at least as of now, that led to a falling out, whether or not it was the root of this ultimate falling out, that the FBI didn't necessarily follow through on that investigation and in fact cut Joe Kent out of any such potential investigation. And then we get back to Joe Kent's opposition to the actions in Iran, and Mark Levin brings up an audio clip of Charlie Kirk talking about the original strikes, the original 12-day war that wasn't a war, and Charlie Kirk had this to say, followed by the question Mark Levin poses to Joe Kent.
Rich, can you play what Charlie said after the president ordered the dropping of the bombs on the in June on those sites in Iran? Go ahead.
And you might say, Charlie, do you support or oppose this? I support President Trump. That's my answer. I know the man. He's the commander in chief. He's the man for the hour. And he's had the weight of the world on his shoulders. So in a situation like this, I support my friend. And he's had my back and I have his. That's my perspective. By the way, I also look at this and I say, and I understand the arguments of people that, you know, oh, don't intervene and all that. I get it. But boy, have we not exhausted so many diplomatic channels and options.
What do you think of that?
I didn't resign after Midnight Hammer. Midnight Hammer was a targeted operation that did not result in a further continuation of the war.
I'm not talking about why you resigned. I'm talking about, hold on. I'm talking about that was Charlie's comment about the president ordering the bombing of those nuclear sites in Iran. Right?
Right.
And you were talking about,
I heard that, like,
you were
I heard
talking
that, like,
about Charlie being assassinated. Right?
Right. He was against the regime change war that's taking place right now.
Okay, hold on. I'm not talking about
Midnight
that.
Hammer and the bombing was two completely different things. Targeted operations are completely different.
You were talking about the assassination.
As we've seen with the ramifications.
And here's where I'm talking about the difference between hard-hitting journalism and just interrupting the person you've invited on your show to get answers from them. Joe Kent is making a very astute distinction, a very astute observation, that when Charlie Kirk ultimately said, I stand with the president, it was in respect of and in response to the targeted strikes that purportedly obliterated Iran's nuclear weapons development program at the time, but it was a targeted strike with a clear mission, an in and an out with no further involvement, and Charlie Kirk said, under that context, I stand with the president, he's my friend, I trust him, he is the man of the hour. That is to be distinguished from what's going on right now, and Joe Kent made that distinction. Joe Kent made that distinction. Mark Levin didn't seem to appreciate it and continually tried to talk over Joe Kent making that astute distinction.
President Trump said no nuclear weapons, and then through official engagements through the Israelis and then also the media echo chamber that wanted regime change in Iran said, no, we need to say that the Iranians can't.
What about
have
the media echo chamber, your buddies who didn't want regime change in Iran?
Well,
there's a lot of echo chambers out there, wouldn't you say?
It appears that your media echo chamber was much more successful.
No, it wasn't. I never lobbied the president. Hey, pay attention to me. I never lobbied the president. You guys keep putting that crap out there. I met with the president once at his request. And I said to the president, ready for this, Joe? I said, they're saying out there that I'm lobbying you. You know what he did? He laughed. You know what he said? Mark, I know where you stand. I watch your show on Saturday and Sunday. Anything I say here, pay attention. Anything I say here is what I would say. I did what?
You can lobby him by using the power of your show, the power of your
platform. Come on, brother. You're sounding almost ridiculous now. Now let's go on. I have a question.
And now I refresh your memory of the clip from the beginning of this analysis where Mark Levin was talking about the Speaker of the House asking Mark Levin to have on Joe Kent in that close 2024 election. And now Mark Levin is pretending that his show carries no weight, no pull, and has no impact on the administration while having previously admitted he responds to specific requests from the administration. And then the, come on, brother, you're not making any sense. Come on, save that crap for somebody else. That is not journalism. That is dismissing the otherwise legitimate points that Joe Kent just made.
There's been a big controversy now, Andrew COVID now, Mediaite's covered it, other people have covered it, he put out a video. He gave you text messages confidentially. Hold on, man, let me just get the question out. You can dispute it.
I didn't give text messages to anybody.
But I have to explain it to the public. If you wait. Hold on, so they got, what is it? Why don't you want to answer this? You won't even let me set up the question. He said that he gave you text messages from Charlie Kirk, all this discussion about the Israelis and donors and so forth, that you called him and you said, make it public. He said, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. And then the next thing he knows, Candace Owens has it, and she makes it public, and she's off to the races, just like you and Tucker and the rest. Did that happen or not? Did you give it to Candace Owens, yes or no?
I did not give anything to Candace Owens, no.
Well, this is good to know. So you've never leaked. You didn't give anything to Candace Owens. I have a much higher regard for you now. That's the truth.
My lawyer ears are perking up. I didn't give anything to Candace Owens, no. And my question would have been, did you give anything to anybody else that subsequently made its way to Candace Owens, whether or not it was classified and whether or not it would have not been unlawful to communicate it in the first place? There's some semantics going on there. And if Mark Levin were listening to it, he might have picked a little bit more at it to say, all right, you didn't give it to Candace Owens. Did you give anything to anybody, whether or not it was classified? Now, that might open a discussion to a bigger debate. Yeah, I talked to people, and if it's not classified, it's not leaking, it's not disclosing, there's nothing wrong with it. We have conversations and we share information. We could have opened that door if and when we got to it, but in this interview, we didn't get to it.
I read your texts. I read them out loud. And you've like done a 180. Why is that? Because you had access to intelligence or something? Why have you changed completely?
I have not done a 180. I have no problem with us working with Israel. I have a problem with Israel driving our foreign policy in the Middle East, as they have done to get us
into
this
war. Do you have no
war.
Respect for
yes,
Donald Trump's agency, that he has the capacity to make these decisions himself?
I have the utmost respect for the president. You can read
but
my
You didn't answer
and
my question. You don't sound like it.
I believe that he was influenced by the media echo chamber and by the Israeli.
Well, maybe he's influenced by your media echo chamber, or maybe he's influenced by the Saudis and the Qatar. Who knows? He made a decision. Can't you accept the fact that he's a great president, that he took in all this information, he listened to all his advisors, and he made a decision? You may disagree with it, but why do you create a conspiratorial notion that Israel, 9.5 million people, a tiny economy and everything, dragged powerful Donald Trump and the United States into war? Not one. You even had them dragging us into the Iraq war, when on the record they said they didn't want to do the Iraq war. They opposed us doing it. Where'd you come up with that one?
And here is an unforced error, a self-owned by Mark Levin, suggesting that Israel never drew or attempted to draw America into the war with Iraq. That might have been true, potentially, although I think it's disputed, of the administration at the time. One thing that is not disputed is that Benjamin Netanyahu was promoting heavily that war in Iraq, and though he was not the prime minister at the time, he is the prime minister of Israel now, and that adds a little bit more credibility to the argument, to the idea, to the notion, however offensive you might find it, that Israel sort of dragged America into this war, or at the very least, nudged them into it.
If you take out Saddam's regime, I guarantee you that it will have enormous positive reverberations on the region. And I think that people sitting right next door in Iran, young people, and many others will say, the time of such regimes, of such despots, is gone. There is a new age. Something new is happening.
And that Iraq. Is speculation on your part, or you have some evidence to that effect?
And Mark Levin ends the interview with some rhetorical, argumentative, so-called questions, although they're not questions at all, they're accusations. He is basically suggesting that if Joe Kent had any issues with the administration, he should have resigned, quietly said nothing, and just politely left the building.
The president made the decision. The president said he made the decision. The top brass. Do you think General Kane is a good general?
Yeah, he is a good general.
Do you think he's doing this because the Israelis? Is he in service to the Israelis?
Neither of them are responsible for taking us off the war. The important thing is what took us off the war.
But they didn't resign in a public letter like you did either. Hey, Joe, I want to thank you for coming on. I really do.
Thank
I wish you the best of luck.
And I can appreciate that argument, and I appreciate that sentiment. That being said, Joe Kent did what he thinks is right, and he did it the way he did it. And whether you agree with it or disagree with it, to come out with this mass campaign to slander, to leak to the press that there are apparently alleged, but as of yet unproven, investigations into Joe Kent for leaking allegedly classified information, though we have no evidence of any of it, no specificity, no content, no nothing, nothing. But yet the media has run with this slander campaign. That is what's going on right now. If you like what I do, you have yet to subscribe, I don't know what I got to get you to do it, but like, share, subscribe, drop a comment in the comment section below. More importantly than anything, exercise, eat healthy, sunshine, get outside, talk to people in real life, and now you know your vlog. Peace out, peeps.